There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Ekev Tov Shin Pei Hey. As we join together another week for another beautiful opportunity to share some Torah, to learn, to be inspired, to get ready for another beautiful, beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. And thank you all. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, to be part of our radio family, to talk a welcoming Shabbos and learn some Torah. As always, the program today is brought to you as a refuah shlema for many, many cholim, particularly Avraham Moshe ben Basha Rivka, Zalman Yitzchak ben Fege Rivka, Yosef Yitzchak ben Bela, Yerachmiel ben Etem, Moshe Chonon ben Ben Sheva, Est Yehudischaya, Bas Rut Ora, Akava, Bas Libamina, Binyamina, Pasienta, and Lana Tevia, Bas Reina, Beseich, Shar, Chol Yisrael, amongst all of those who need refuahs, who need yeshuas, who need a kiss, a makondesh baruch, who made a bezeche, taka bakar of mamish, and zchus of Klai Yisrael, of Yidden, coming together to learn Torah, shle bezeche, to a complete. Refuah Shleima. Our parsha, one of the first pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, Ve'yisir Hashem imcha kol choli. Hashem is going to remove from you every kind of illness. V'chol madvei mitzrayim horayim asher yodata, and all the bad sort of maladies of Mitzrayim that you knew, right? Alo yisim ambach. Hashem is not going to place them on you. So it says that lo yisimein bach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to put them upon you. If Hashem will not put the illness on us, if we will not be affected by various maladies, what reason is there for the heisir Hashem mimcho kol choli? If Hashem's not going to place the diseases on us, why does it have to say Hashem will remove from you every illness? If no illness is affecting them, what exactly will he remove? So Rabbi Yeshua Zal from Kutna explains, citing a Yerushalmi in Shabbos, Daf 75b. It says, Kol choli, every illness, this applies to worry and anxiety. When a person worries that he might be ill with a specific illness, the worry alone will fester and germinate in his mind until he believes that he's sick. Once his worries dissipate, so then the non-existent illness will disappear as well. Other commentators explain the Yerushalmi as teaching us that anxiety, depression, and their related resultant illnesses and weaknesses are the most difficult maladies to cure. Worry, especially when it becomes a kind of obsessive, such as sort of hypochondria, etc., can drain a person's emotional and physical energy even more than an actual illness. When people begin to fear the experience of fear itself, it's called anticipatory anxiety. Obviously, this takes on various scenarios in different people. The only things they have in common is fear. Some catastrophize, always jumping to the worst case scenario. Some will view every sort of neutral symptom as proof of disease. One of the more common, but perhaps less devastating diseases is the inability to live without knowing. The uncertainty, the lack of control drives people up a wall. This sort of we don't really have the answers for these questions. But one thing is for certain. One who has strong bitachon, one who has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can live with and even overcome the demands of fear. An added caveat is that, is a notion that children learn by observing their parents. When a parent consistently exhibits anxiety concerning future events, after a while, that child will pick up on it and internalize it into their own behaviors. Furthermore, such parents tend to be sort of overprotective, not allowing a child sort of even breathing room, right? Limiting a child's potential to confront challenges independently and gain self-confidence. While this barely scratches kind of the surface, it does give us an idea of the severity of the disease called anxiety and its expressions in various forms. Furthermore, while other diseases and illnesses for the most part affect only the victim, this illness has a far-reaching effect on generations. 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on the radio. Erev Shabbos Kiddush. Parshas Ekev Tov Shin Pei. Hey, as we prepare for another amazing, amazing Shabbos, and I'd like, as we do on a very occasion, this is a Friday afternoon show, and therefore we like occasionally to speak a bit about Shabbos. And it relates to this week's parasha also, because we're going to bring in also Eretz Yisrael, which is very much a feature of this week's parasha. But last week we read the Aseret HaDibros. And in the Aseret HaDibros, of course, the Dibur number 4 is, of course, Shabbos. And the Torah says, V'yom ha'shvi Shabbos l'Hashem l'kecha. The seventh day shall be a Shabbos. L'esas l'kom alocha, you can't do any work. Ata bincha b'techa, you, your son, your daughter, avdecha, your male servant, amascha, your female servant, shorcha v'achamorcha, your ox, your donkey, v'chol b'emtecha, and all of your animals, v'gercha shebshrecha, and even a ger, someone who has accepted some of the mitzvahs, leman, so that your nuach avdecha v'amascha k'mecha, so that you and your servants and your maidservant can rest just as we are obligated to rest on Shabbos. And then he carries on and says, V'zocharta, says, you shall remember, ki eved ha'yisa be'eretz Mitzrayim, that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. V'yotziyachon Hashem lakecha misham, and Hashem took you out from there. V'yad chazakah, with a strong hand, it was your nituyah, and an outstretched arm. Al tain, therefore, tzivcha Hashem lakecha, Hashem has commanded you, last place is Yom HaShabbos, to make and to keep this Shabbos day. And we need to understand, what is in fact the connection between Shabbos Kodesh, the beautiful Shabbos day, to Exodus from Egypt? And obviously the Rishonim have spoken at length about this, the Rambam has spoken about it in his Guide to the Perplexed, the Moreh Nevuchim, and the Ramban also, and the Reishis Chochma, others have touched on this subject. However, the Bnei Yisachar brings in his Sefer Agra Dekala, actually in Parshas Tetzaveh. He says as follows. He says, in this service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we know there were different types of service that had to be done by the various functionaries in the Mishkan, Kohenim, Levitim. Some of it was called Avodas Masa, which literally means the service of carrying a load. Some of it was called Avodas Matana, the service of a gift. Now, someone who is not, unfortunately, completely separated, who has not really worked on himself sufficiently, and is no longer completely tied to the physical world, to this world. So then, for him, often, being able to constantly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which sometimes involves fighting off his physical desire. The physical desire says, sleep in, right? Sunday morning, get up at 9. And the Torah says, no, you have to get up and daven. There's a deadline for Kriyat Shema. So often for that person, the avodah, the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, masa, is a burden. Because he hasn't yet sort of willingly attached himself. He's not completely committed to that service. And therefore, it often will seem at least like a bit of a burden. Of course, he'll still do it. He'll perform every bit of mitzvah that he needs to perform. But it's going to be more on the level, okay, Hashem told me to do it. I'm a good worker. I'll fulfill the dictates that I'm told to do. And I'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not always so geschmack. It's not always so easy. It's often a fight for him. However, someone who has worked on himself and elevated himself and is kind of separated himself from the need to be attracted to all the physical things of this world. So therefore, even when he's involved in this world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him already a little bit. Even his basic service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer part of this world. He already operates, and everything that he's doing, it's already a little bit, a little taste, a little shmek of Olam Haba in everything he's doing. And that is the basic concept behind this Gemara in Brachos, Yud Zayin, where it says, Olamcha tire b'chayecha. Literally means your life you'll see in your world, you will see during your lifetime. And you know it's that he's already so removed and so elevated above this world that everything he does is somehow already connected to beyond this world, to a world that transcends the physical world and connects itself to the world to come. And the greatest pleasure of all the pleasures in the world for him is to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to learn a little bit of Torah, to fulfill mitzvahs, to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For him, that is like being in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. And that's called Avodas Matana Etenes Gunaschem. That's called service for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a gift, right? And he says that it brings over there. In fact, the Bnei Yisachar quotes from Meshulam Zusha that he said that he doesn't hope, he's not waiting, he's not expecting any kind of reward for the fact that he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? From the time that he was aware that such a thing existed, he doesn't expect any reward. But the main thing he hopes for is the reward that he should get for the time he served Hashem before he realized the absolute urgency and the great pleasure of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply as a servant, doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that, he wants reward. In other words, that by purifying himself, his body and his mind, he saw almost like eye to eye the absolute reality of Hashem's existence, and therefore, the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became something that was absolutely natural, was actually a pleasure of him. It wasn't work at all. He says, I don't deserve a reward for that. It was something I absolutely and completely enjoyed. What I hope for is that, you know, when I was still a youngster And sometimes it wasn't so easy. And sometimes it was a challenge. And sometimes, you know, my youthfulness brought me a different way. That, and I still served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I want reward for the Avodas Masa when it was still difficult. For the Avodas Matana, I understand that that's pure pleasure. Pure pleasure, that is the reward. In other words, we see from here that within the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two types of service of Hashem. And one, as we said, is called Avodas Masa, and the one is Avodas Matana. When we talk about the Avodah that's a Masa, that seems like a burden, so there a person finds himself in a constant war between himself and his evil inclination, his Yetzirah, which always is trying to block him and stop him from doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, when you get to the level of Avodat Matana, it's just a gift. You already merit to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any difficulty, without any sort of kind of distractions from the Yetzirah, because he has, as I say in the classics, he has it fapak, he has it already controlled, he's in control. I don't deserve reward for that, because that's something that is absolutely not difficult for me at all. Now, on Shabbos Kodesh, a person merits to get rid of, to overcome, to overtake and defeat his Yetzirah, and to reach a level of where it is really Avodas Matana, a service HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's pure bliss and pure pleasure. As in fact, the Pri Tzadik brings down in Parshas V'yakel, and he says, on Shabbos, through a person keeping Shabbos properly and guarding himself from doing any kind of an Avera, so he is saved from any accusations by the Yetzirah. Okay, we'll take a break now and come back.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ekev, Tov Shin Pehe. We are busy discussing Shabbos Kodesh, and its connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're still going to connect it also, please God, to this week's Parsha, to Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking about the incredible importance of Shabbos and the ability of Shabbos. In fact, the Sefer Menucha Kedusha brings down that Shmir Shabbos, in all of its myriad details, so even if a person, Chas V'Shalom, has on his scorecard for his life, the fact that even he served idols, like Enosh, the grandson of Adam Rishon, was the first person to serve idols. If you keep Shabbos properly, Mayachlinloi, they're going to forgive you for all of your sins. Why? Because by keeping Shabbos, one brings down on oneself a neshama kedusha, holy, holy neshama, and that destroys all the tumah from his body and sanctifies him from the tip of his head to the bottom of his soul. He's completely sort of remade. He's completely sanctified by keeping Shabbos properly. The Ben Ish Chai actually brings down Parshas Tetzaveh, says these two things, Torah and Shabbos, they provide such Kedusha, like an independent Kedusha, to Klai Yisrael, even more than any of the other mitzvahs, Shabbos and Torah. And similar thing, the Peliyahu also brings down on his essay on Kedusha. He says, if all the mitzvahs we know do have some level of Kedusha, every time we do any mitzvah, it brings down a certain level of Kedusha, of holiness on a person. So all the more so, even more so, when we talk about guarding Shabbos, the Shabbos, which is the Tchilal Mikroi Kodesh, the first, the premiere of all the holy days of our Jewish year, then certainly, certainly, we're going to be filled and imbued with a tremendous, tremendous sense of Kedusha. For this reason, that's why we don't actually wear tefillin on Shabbos Kodesh, because the Zayah Kodesh brings down that the tefillin of the Yad and the tefillin we wear on our heads, so they are sort of like the iron chains that control and try to sort of keep down the Yetzirah, because they minimize his ability, his strength, and in one minimization after another, slowly the tefillin work to wrestle the Yetzirah down to the ground. But on Shabbos, where there is no Yetzirah, so we don't need those chains. There's no obligation, therefore, to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Based on that, we have an amazing, amazing reason to the minig that some people have. You see it around sometimes. People wear white garments on Shabbos, right? In fact, the Pri Etz Chaim brings down that a person, he says it's an obligation, that a person must wear every Shabbos white clothing. In fact, the Shara Kavonis, the Arizal, brings it also. He says that a person needs to wear white clothes and not colored clothing on Shabbos, not any other color. And he says he has a tradition from his Rabbonim that depending on what the color and the sort of the shade of the clothing that a person wears on Shabbos in this world, so that's mamish what he's going to wear in Olam Haba after he leaves this world, and then that's going to be his fixed Shabbos outfit for his entire existence in Olam Haba. And they said that one time by Kabbalah Shabbos, by the accepting of Shabbos on Friday night, so the neshama of a certain Chacham appeared to the Arizal, who had died during his lifetime, and they saw him wearing black clothes. And he said to him, because in this world I used to wear black clothes on Shabbos, right? That was, and that's how they're punishing me there in Shemayim. I have to wear, after my death, I have to wear these black clothes, even on Shabbos, right? The Kaf Chaim brings down in the name of the Ritva that the reason why we wear white clothes on Shabbos is, and I want to quote, it says, "Lelame, to teach us, ki yetzahara mesulak mehem," because we don't have a yetzahara on Shabbos. We're pure, we're white, and white. And based on this reason, it's also if we're pure and untethered, uncontrolled by the yetzahara, so then white clothing makes sense to be wearing on Shabbos for those whose custom it is to do that. And similarly, also for the same reason, the minhag is that when we see our friends, we see our fellow congregants on Shabbos, so we give each other the bracha in Lashon HaKodesh of Shabbat Shalom, and that we don't say like a good Shabbos of Simcha, right? Like by other Yom Tov, we say Moadim leSimcha, right? Yom Tovim are for joy. Shabbos we say, right? Shabbat Shalom, right? The reason is because this is alluding to the fact that we have complete peace. We've made an utter truce, a complete peace with the Yetzirah over the course of Shabbos. And that's what it means. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said,
Matana Tov, I have this amazing, amazing gift. Yesh li bebeis genozai. I have hidden away in my treasure trove. V'Shabbos Shema. Its name is Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna l'Yisrael. I want to give it to the Jewish nation. Lech v'hidiyam. Go inform them about this amazing gift they're going to get. In other words, he's saying that on Shabbos Kodesh, every single Jew merits to receive this incredible, incredible gift, straight handpicked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim, right? When we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, it should be at least on Shabbos, to get to that level of avodas matana, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any distractions, without any interruptions, without any sort of incitement from the Yetzer Hara. Now, the Noam Elimelech brings down that he says the concept over here is, and he quotes also the Zohar HaKadosh, that we know a tzaddik, we mentioned this before, a tzaddik is called Shabbos because he has even during the week, has the extra neshama, the neshama yisera that other people have only on Shabbos. In other words, because the tzaddik merits to completely control, to completely subdue his Yetzirah, not only on Shabbos like we all do, but even during the days of the week. He serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said, as an Avodas Matan. He is so fully, so cognizant of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his closeness and the relationship we need to have. And he's so glad, he's full of joy to do every mitzvah that Hashem has commanded him to do. And this then also gives us a little bit of insight into the words of Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yutes, where it says, "Ein adaleika matsuya." The fires are only common occurrences. Ela b'mokim sheyesh chilul Shabbos. Only in places where, unfortunately, people are not careful. People are not so assiduous about keeping Shabbos, there we find, God forbid, a conflagration. And the reason is because the Yetzirah is an Esh, is a fire, as it's brought in the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Pei Aleph, regarding, it says, Rav Amram Chasida, the Gemara of Rav Amram Chasida, that he sort of tried to control, tried to force the Yetzirah, that it should leave him. And it says it went out of him like a column of a fire. So he said, Chazi, you see, the At Naira says, you are fire. Va'ana Bisra. And I am flesh and blood. Va'ana Difna Minech. And I can be victorious over you. So we see that even the Yetzirah is fire, and yet we have the ability to overcome it. And therefore on Shabbos Kodesh, right, where the Yetzirah has to take a rest. However, someone chas v'shalom, who actually goes out of his way and breaks the Shabbos, so then he is now sort of rekindling. He is stoking the flames of the Yetzirah. And therefore, it makes sense, mida keneged mida, a quid pro quo situation, he gets fired, right, by chas v'shalom. He gets repaid by having a fire in his house. He has allowed the fire of the Yetzirah to be dominant by him breaking Shabbos, and therefore, that becomes his punishment. So now we can perhaps understand very, very well the concept and the comparison of Shabbos to the Exodus from Egypt. Because we know that Mitzrayim symbolizes, right, the absolute servitude we have towards the Yetzirah and to all the joys and all the benefits and all the enjoyments of this world. But on Shabbos Kodesh, a yid merits to receive a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he can be free, he can be emancipated from the Yetzirah. And for this exodus from Egypt, right, his own private Yetziat Mitzrayim that takes place every Friday evening. And therefore, the Shabbos is Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. Shabbos, again, is that opportunity for us to completely operate on a level where we're not bothered, where we're not troubled, we're not being attacked by the Yetzirah. And therefore, that gives us the opportunity to serve Hashem out of so much love, out of so much desire, without the normal challenges. Right. And then, as I said, we can also then connect Shmiras Shabbos to Eretz Yisrael, which is such a focal point of this Pasha, and all these Pashas, Klal Yisrael, waiting, expecting Moshe Rabbeinu giving his last instructions before they actually cross the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael. So there's a connection also between Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, because the Midrash brings down, it's in Bereishis Rabbah, if your sons will accept upon themselves the Shabbos, then and only then will they merit to go into the land. And if, God forbid, all the way around, they're not going to accept the Shabbos, then God forbid, they lose their right to actually enter into the land of Israel. And we need, obviously, to understand, because we understand, and it's quite clear, that Shabbos Kodesh, the holy day of Shabbos, is the concept of a matana, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Eretz Yisrael, we know also, is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As in fact, Rashi, the very, very first Rashi in the first Pasuk, already tells us that the non-Jews will come and claim, listem atem, you are robbers, that you captured the land of the seven nations, right? You captured the lands of all these seven nations, and Bnei Yisrael will be able to refute all of the arguments using the claim Hashem is the one who created the world, and he gave it to whoever he wanted to give. And now, for Hashem's own reasons, he took it away from you and decided to give it to us, as a gift. Right? And normally, when someone gives someone else a gift, when the giver sees that the recipient is so happy to receive the gift, he's excited about it. So then, obviously, he wants to, the greatest desire the giver now has, he wants to give more, wants to give him another gift. This person had so much joy in his gift. However, when the recipient refuses and doesn't actually want to accept the gift, so then, obviously, the giver has no desire to give him any more gifts. He doesn't want, okay? Leave me alone. I'm not going to give him any more. And therefore, when someone receives and accepts lovingly the gift of Shabbos, so therefore he is meriting this free gift, this beautiful gift of Eretz Yisrael. And God forbid, if someone breaks Shabbos and pushes away the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us, so then he loses out the gift of Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps you can say that even the gift of Eretz Yisrael is, again, what's the gift for? It's to be able to attain in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, this concept of Avodas Matana, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the realization of how great Hashem is and how close we want to be to Him. Because the Yetzer Hara in Eretz Yisrael is much weaker than it is outside of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, it's written. The Masha writes this in Maseches Nedarim. And he says as follows, that the Yetzer Hara has complete dominion and control outside of Eretz Yisrael, much more than it has in Eretz Yisrael. And anger is the midah that absolutely plays right into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. And that's what the Pasuk says. Ki yodati es Yetzer Hara. Hashem says, I know the Yetzer Hara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I created it. Asher hu oseh hayom. I know what he's going to do already today. But terem avinu el ha'aretz. Before I even bring him to the land, I know what the Jewish nation is going to do. In other words, it says, once I know the fact that the Jews have this Yetzer Hara that has the ability to control them, and already in the desert, before I even bring them to Eretz Yisrael, right? So there, I can't punish them so much. But when they come into the land of Israel, if they're going to do any evil deeds like they're doing now, they deserve to be punished much, much more, because there's no Yetzer Hara that controls them in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if they're still going to go and sin in the land where it's over, the Yetzirah is so weak, that is truly an affront. That truly is a chutzpah. And they deserve to be punished for that. And let's just end with after we've explained the tremendous Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh. So now we need to understand why only sort of very small percentage of people actually merit to feel the Kedusha, right? And most of us, Yom Kippur, everyone understands that that's a holy special day. How come we can't feel it so much on Shabbos? The reason is, as explained by the Sefer Menucha Kedusha, he says, the reason why the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim is much, much more felt, much people are much more sensitive. Most of the Jewish nation is involved in Yom Kippur, right? If those are the ones that follow Hashem. And Shabbos is not felt so much, only to those very, very special individuals. The reason is that the Kedusha of Shabbos is so, so high. It's the chila, as we said, it's the premiere of all the holy days, right? And it's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all the joys and pleasures we have. And therefore, a person has to purify himself in order to actually attain it. However, a Yom Kippur, which is the day of Ema, of fear of the judgment and fear of the punishment, right? So then even the level of Yom Kippur is actually less than Shabbos. But it's easier himself to prepare himself to be ready for it's coming. And the proof is that God forbid, desecrating Yom Kippur is only punishable by karet. But breaking Shabbos, if you're warned, is actually you're punished by stoning. And furthermore, when we blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, everyone gets frightened, right? And the greatness of the zchus of blowing the shofar is something amazing, right? But not too many actually are clever enough to desire and to have a tremendous want for the coming of Avinu Shebashamayim, of our Father, where we're going to live in a world, please God, where everything is going to be Shabbos. Every day is going to be on the level of Shabbos Kodesh. And of course, Shabbos Kodesh then will be even greater than it is today. May we be zeicher that it should happen very speedily and still in our days. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
What about Banan Chai FM? This is Salt to Salt back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ekev Tov Shin Peyei. As we prepare for another amazing Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we're into the Shiva Dinachemta, the 7 weeks of comfort, of growth, of preparation, of upliftment as we get ready for Rosh Chodesh Elul. In fact, next Shabbos is already going to be...
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
21.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Ekev Tov Shin Peyei, our closing moments together for this week, as we're discussing the laws, God forbid, of a fire on Shabbos. There's an argument amongst the poskim, amongst the halakhic authorities, about whether one may actually save money or any other valuables that are not necessary for Shabbos from a burning building. One who follows a lenient opinion has an opinion on which to rely. However, this is all on condition that he not transgress any Torah prohibition. If in order to save his money, he would need to carry it, let's say, from a Rishus HaYochid, from a private domain, to a public domain, and that would violate Torah law, he may certainly not do so. No one would allow that. However, he may carry the money out with a shinoi, an unusual way, as this is only forbidden rabbinically. And that's again the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Dalet and Mishnah Brura in Sivkot and Dalet and Hey. Now, a residence, let's say, of next door buildings, of neighboring buildings, so halacha is they may remove everything that they own from their homes, as long as the fire has not yet spread to their homes. So we can assume that they are not so panicked, and so we're not that worried that they will end up, chas v'shalom, putting out the fire. So the neighbors can remove their things, if God forbid, if they think the fire is going to get to them. And although a Jew, as we said, may never extinguish such a fire, he may hint to a non-Jew to do so. For example, he can say, whoever extinguishes this fire will not lose out. Or he could sort of call to the non-Jew urgently and tell him that a fire has broken out and that it is forbidden for a Jew to put it out. The non-Jew, hopefully, will then figure out, using his own sort of a seichel, that the Jew wants him to put out the fire and perhaps will even pay him for doing so. Similarly, one may indirectly sort of cause the fire to go out. Since according to Torah law, it's only acting directly that is forbidden. Normally, Chazal forbid causing melacha to be done in sort of indirectly, but in the case of loss, such a thing called grama, indirect cause, is permitted. Therefore, if let's say one side of a cupboard catches fire, one may cover the other side with wet rags so that the fire will go out when it reaches them. Similarly, one may sort of place bags full of water on a spot where the fire has not yet reached so that they will burst open and extinguish the fire when it reaches there, says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif 22. One may also pour water on a spot that is not yet burning, as long as it's far enough away from the fire that the water will only reach the fire and begin extinguishing it after a while. Okay, there's more, but let's stop here. This is 101.9 Chai FM. This is just enough time to wish all of you an amazing, amazing good Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our radio family. And we look forward to next week. A good Kabbalistic Shabbos to one and all.